Very soon, classes will start and students from all over the nation will cry with one voice saying, "Today is my Independence Day." Independence. That word will have new meaning for all of us because we will be getting our degree from Independence University online. No longer will we say, "I can't be there, I have class." We will no longer struggle for parking spots or be required to wear clothes while taking a test. Because if there's one thing Independence University online offers us, it's our independence. Our bachelor's degree is a mere 36 months away, and on that day, we will celebrate a new era of confidence, where the job challenge may become nurses, businessmen, and graphic artists, when dead-end jobs may become careers. Thanks to Independence University, today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Choose Independence University online for a better life offline. Classes start every month. Call 800-979-8210, 800-979-8210, or visit independence.edu.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands forever love.
Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest on Show Talk with Angela Butler today is Miss Carla Mills. Carla also has a television show called, now tell me if I get this wrong, Miss Carla, The Mills Connection?
The Mills Connection Show.
Yeah, television show. And your show has won in the past two awards.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, great show. It can also be found on YouTube, The Mills Connection, right?
Yeah, The Mills Connection Show. You can find it on YouTube now.
Okay. Carla is on the show not just to talk about her show, but to talk about cancer, a specific type of cancer, multiple myeloma?
Yes, that's correct.
Also about her experience with insurance, health insurance. Hello, okay, again, hello, Carla. How are you?
Well, hey, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Good. I appreciate you inviting me to your show, so thank you also.
I know there are going to be people that are blessed by you coming on this show, so. All right. When did you find out you had cancer?
In December of 2012 is when I was diagnosed with cancer. Do you want me to say any of my symptoms or?
I'm getting to that, yes, ma'am. What type of cancer do you have?
All right, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a rare blood cancer.
Okay. You can tell about the symptoms if you want to.
Yeah, probably about, it started maybe about 2 weeks before I actually was rushed to the hospital. But, you know, I was working a full-time job. I was doing my show. I had just started, rehearsing for a play. So my hands, my plate was really full. And I was just feeling lightheaded. Not I was in any pain or any discomfort, but, you know, I just felt really lightheaded, kind of just off balance. But like I said, no pain or discomfort. And I remember, you know, I'm one of those people that eat right, exercise. You know, I've always been very, you know, one of those health conscious kind of people. So had a very good relationship with my doctor, you know, had my physical every year. And I remember calling the doctor, and he thought that I had, what is it, my equilibrium was off, because I had issues with that, like, previously. So, you know, that's just, he told me not to worry, and, you know, I just didn't think it was a big deal. And then probably about a couple of weeks later, I literally passed out and had to be rushed to the hospital, and that's how I got diagnosed with having cancer.
Okay. All right. All right. Has cancer changed your life anyway?
Yeah, it really did, because, you know, like I said, when you're a person who eats right and exercise and, you know, you kind of think that, you know, you're going to be okay, because, you know, I had never, ever been sick in my life. I've only been in the hospital twice in my life, and that was to, you know, have my children. And, you know, like I said, I just, you know, never had any issues, and it was just crazy. And like I said, I was one of those people that, you know, went to the doctors if something didn't seem right. Hey, I was at the doctors, calling my doctor. So, yeah, but it also, it makes you more humble, and it also changed me, because I've always had faith in God. But, you know, when you kind of find yourself on death's door, your faith becomes a lot stronger.
Okay. All right. You stopped taping your show when you found out that you had cancer. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay.
Yeah, when I got out the hospital, you know, they always say your passion, and, you know, I've always been a woman that liked to talk. You know, it's like it doesn't matter where I go. If I meet somebody and I see somebody, I'm going to talk to them. You know, been a talker all my life. So when I started doing the show, I just really thought that that was my passion, because it was something, it didn't feel like work. You know, one thing I love to do is talk. So I really felt that that was my livelihood, and, you know, and Oprah was kind of like my role model. So I felt like, you know, hey, if Oprah can do it, I can do it. And then it's like I got sick, got out the hospital, you know, had to literally have a stem cell transplant, which is the same as a bone marrow transplant, but a stem cell is when you use your own stem cell versus a bone marrow is when you have to use someone else's. So, you know, I got out of the hospital and my life changed, and the things that seemed important to me before just weren't important anymore. So I'm hoping that, you know, I feel like doing this show again, but right now I just have lost all desire.
Okay. Well, I hope God guides you and leads you in the right direction. Matter of fact, I know he will. So you just keep praying.
I believe that.
All right. What do you think about the Republicans trying to block President Obama's health care plan?
I feel sorry for them. I am totally against the Republicans. You know, one thing that I realize about politicians is that, you know, it's all about money. And I don't think they truly understand how important this health care is to people, especially people that, you know, are dealing with illnesses. But, you know, and I think another thing that people don't understand is that President Obama, if you really understand, you know, where he's coming from, his mother died from cancer. You know, he's the first president that we have ever had that, you know, didn't have a summer home, like I said, who's not rich. And most of our presidents have all come from, you know, have come from money. This is a man that, like I said, his mother died because, you know, she didn't have any money. She wasn't able to get the right kind of health care. She really didn't have insurance. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, cancer treatment and insurance is very, very, very important to him. And I just think it's really sad that the Republicans don't understand that what they really don't understand is that when you don't have insurance, more people go to the emergency, and then people like regular people who are working every day, they're the ones that pay for it. So it's like they just really don't understand what's going on.
Okay. All right. What is your view on cancer since you have it?
I think cancer is big money. It's been around for so long, and I think it's really crazy that there's not a cure for it. You know, there's no cure. And then sometimes I think to myself, we have to understand why. There's a lot of money in drugs. One of the pills, and that's really, I started really doing my research, like I said, when I got sick, because think about it, if they found a cure, there wouldn't have any need for a lot of these cancer doctors. There wouldn't be a need for all of these drugs. But one of the pills that I was, after I got diagnosed, you know, I started just asking questions. I'm a lucky one because I have great benefits, but I still think about people who don't. But one of the pills that I was taking was $5,000 for a 21-day supply. And, you know, and I remember talking to my doctor, you know, because of my insurance, I remember the whole year that I was taking this drug. And I just remember, you know, when I would order it, because it's not the kind of drug that you can get from the store. You can't go to, like, CVS or Walgreens. It has to literally come FedEx. So I usually get it, you know, when my doctor calls it in, it comes to my door. And I remember just talking, you know, when I ordered the drug and they said, yeah, it's $5,000 for 21 days. So after I heard that, when I went to see my doctor, I asked my doctor, I said, well, you know, I have great insurance and my insurance pays for this drug, but what about people who their insurance, you know, doesn't pay for it? And he said they die. And that's when I realized that, you know, we're living in some sad times when people die when they don't have money to get a particular drug. This is serious business.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned something to me over the phone. You had health insurance while you worked.
Yes.
What is the law in Georgia about insurance and sick leave while you are ill?
Well, in Georgia, well, first of all, when you work a job, you know, Georgia is a state that they can fire you. It's an at-will state. So I know there's a lot of states that are like this, but, you know, I live in Georgia now, and I know that when I got sick, after I was gone from my job for about 6 months, they let me go. And I wasn't upset, you know, because, you know, I look at things totally different. You know, evidently God had something totally bigger for me. You know, I'm doing fine. They let me go after 6 months. And, you know, the good thing about COBRA is that even when a job lets you go, I thank God that, you know, I had the short-term disability, long-term. So I made sure that I had the right things. And then when you are not at a job anymore, COBRA is very expensive. So my benefits when I left my job were close to $500 a month. But because of research and because of Emory where I'm treated at, you know, of course they gave me a social worker, and it was her job to really invest in, okay, well, if you're not working anymore and you need your benefits, so I got a grant. So I thank God that there's grants out there that will pay your payments, so that's how I'm able to still have great health care.
Okay. Now, I like to talk about those grants.
Okay.
What type of grants are they in Georgia? Is it for the whole United States, like on a federal level, or is it just state by state? And how would other people find these grants, medical grants?
Okay, well, if you have cancer, there, you know, depending on what hospital you go to, there are social workers. Usually when you get diagnosed with cancer, they pretty much introduce you to a social worker. So I really don't have that kind of knowledge on the grants, but I do know that the kind of cancer that I have, there's different grants, like depending. So it's the grant that I have is through the Lymphoma Society. So that's where my grant comes from. But anybody who's dealing with any kind of cancer, you can talk to your social worker. And like I said, every kind of cancer has different grants associated with it. And most people don't tell you that. You know, that's why it's very important to, you know, hopefully you have a good hospital that you're dealing with and a hospital that has a lot of, that cares about its people. And Emory, I have nothing but great things to say about Emory Cancer Center. They really look out for their people.
Okay. Now, Medicaid and Medicare insurance, do they pay for any of those medications that you're taking? Do you know?
Because I know you said, your doctor said that most people die if they don't, you know.
Yeah.
And, okay, you don't know, okay.
Well, I can answer that. I can answer that somewhat. One of my girlfriends also was dealing with cancer. Like I said, I'm a new cancer patient, but she's been dealing with cancer for about 7 years now, and she is on Medicare. You know, Medicaid, Medicare, pretty much one and the same. And I can tell you from experience that it doesn't. Medicaid does not pay for, like, right now. There's a lot of tests that she needs, but she can't get because, you know, Medicaid doesn't pay for it, unfortunately.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why people die. You know, you hear when somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, at one time it used to be a death sentence. And I've gotten to the point that I realize now that it doesn't have to be a death sentence, but it's really all about money. It's all about what kind of insurance you have and what your insurance pays for. That really determines who lives and who dies, and that's what's really scary.
Yes, I understand that. I think it's awful. I really do, because you told me things that I had not even thought of, you know. Are your children and parents helping you cope with this cancer? Are they supportive? You have supportive people around you?
Yeah, I'm blessed. That's the best thing about my life is, you know, that I have the best mom and dad. My mom and dad are still living, and I have awesome kids. But, you know, which is the good thing. But the bad thing is, you know, I've always, you know, at least thought of myself as, you know, pretty popular, you know, pretty, you know, a person who had tons of friends. But I will say that when I got sick, that's when you realize who your friends are. I lost a whole lot of friends. I know now, you know, who's truly my friend and who's not. And that's what you learn when you go through a serious illness.
Okay. How many physicians did you go to at first? I mean, when you first got the diagnosis, did you get a second opinion?
I did. But I will say I had a really horrible experience. I don't want to put the hospital under the bus because, hey, I don't want to come back and get sued. But like I said, one of the hospitals that I have always dealt with in Atlanta, when I got sick, you know, that's pretty much, you know, where my son took me and, you know, where I found out the initial diagnosis. And I remember I probably had about 7 transfusions in 24 hours. And this is just when I got admitted to the hospital. They said that I pretty much, you know, because this is a blood cancer, I really didn't hardly have any blood in me. And so, like I said, it was really serious. And like I said, I got blood and a whole lot of things. Probably after about testing, 24 to 48 hours of testing, that's when the oncologist for this hospital came in. And, you know, he came in and he said, you know, this is a rare cancer that you have. He told me that I was diagnosed at stage 4. So he said if he gave me about a year to live and what I needed to do is tie up all my loose ends. So, you know, when you're someone who's been pretty healthy and then someone comes in, you know, literally 2 days later and says, you know, look, I don't see how you're going to make it, you know, past the year. You know, I've never been a depressed person because I'm pretty happy-go-lucky, but at that point I was very sad. And then I just, you know, my friends, my family, you know, we just start praying. And I was like, it doesn't matter what any man says, that's not true. And I just started speaking over myself. You know what? It doesn't matter what I have. You know, I am going to die. We're all going to die. Cancer is not going to kill me. So, you know, like I said, I listened to what he had to say. I remember my dad came into town and he was like, look, we don't care what this man has to say. We're going to just, you know, find out who in Atlanta or wherever we have to go is someone who's maybe a professor in this kind of cancer and find out, you know, who can help us. So, you know, of course, I had got a couple of referrals, of course, from the hospital. And then when I got out, you know, some friends were like, look, you know, Emory Cancer Center is the best. That's where you need to go. So found Dr. Jonathan Kaufman, who is, you know, he's a professor on this type of cancer. once in his office, of course, he tested me, and he said, you know, number one, you're not going to die. He said, we have treatment. And in all honesty, after I started working with this doctor, I was in remission probably 2 months later, and I'm cancer-free right now. I dealt with this cancer for a year, and I'm already cancer-free. So God, and I know it's not Dr. Kaufman, God is good. I felt like he had bigger plans for me.
That is wonderful. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you no longer have it. Now that you're cancer-free and
yes,
things like that, what do you do now? I mean, are you still being treated for
yes,
multiple myeloma?
Yes. There's still drugs that I take. On Sundays, three Sundays a month, I get a shot. So that's kind of like I'm on a maintenance plan for the next 2 years, and the maintenance plan is so it doesn't ever come back. But I get a shot in my stomach three Sundays a month, and I take those pills that I was telling you that are $5,000 a month. So,
mm-hmm,
and I take
okay,
the pill once a day.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you said what you did about the grants, because there were people on Facebook when we were originally supposed to do the show, and I was having
yes,
all those computer problems and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There were people asking me, what type of doctor do you go to find out if you have cancer and different things. They also asked me it was just a lot of questions, basically,
okay,
about the show and about you. So I was
mm-hmm,
trying to get those questions answered to the best
okay,
of my ability.
You
okay,
go to an oncologist. That's a cancer doc. And I also would tell people, like I said, my doctor, I've been going to him for about 20-some years, you know, the whole time I've been in Atlanta, and I love my doctor, but you know, he misdiagnosed me. So I think people need to also understand it is very, very, very important to get a second or a third opinion. And that's, to me, where I messed up, you know, because I started not feeling too well. And I listened to my doctor, and he was like, well, you know, everything, you know, you're just working hard and this, that, and the other. But, you know, I would tell people if I had it to do all over again, you know, if something doesn't seem right and your doctor says, you know, everything's fine, it's nothing wrong with getting a second or maybe a third opinion. And you have to go, an oncologist is a doctor that pretty much works with cancer. And nowadays, you know, another thing that I've learned is, you know, I haven't eaten red meat, pork, probably in about 25 years. I just, you know, I didn't even have a can of soda. You know, I mean, I was one of those people that, you know, every day I went to the gym after I got off work. Even now, you know, I go to the gym 6 days a week, so I've always been a very physical fit woman. That's kind of like my life, and I was kind of just raised that way. But, you know, I also learned that, you know, that's a lot of bull. You know, if you're going to get something, you're going to get it. So now I remember when I got diagnosed with cancer, and like I said, I used to love pepperoni pizza, and then I stopped eating pork and stopped eating red meat. Now I eat whatever it is I want. Tomorrow's not promised. So, you know, whatever it is that you want, don't deny yourself.
All right. Okay, whatever it is you want, don't deny yourself.
Don't deny
okay,
yourself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to go to break. Give you some time to get something to drink, and then we're going to come back to the interview. Listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. You're listening to Carla Mills. She has a television show called The Mills Connection. You can find it on YouTube now. Her show has won two awards. We're going to come back and talk about that after the commercials.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
Searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
Exquisite Express Incorporated specializes in designing signature solutions to help attract more business. Their creative designs through their associate company, Exquisite Designs, give everyday people insight on the latest fashion, food specialties, technology gadgets, and entertainment. Exquisite Designs also provides barista services through Exquisite Barista. You can read all about what they are doing in their digital and print magazine, Exquisite Fusion. Feel free to give us a call, 1-855-379-2540, 1-855-379-2540.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have on Show Talk with Angela Butler today Carla Mills, who has the television show Mills Connection, which can be found on YouTube. All right. I know you told me to call you Carla, so I am.
Okay.
I guess one of my questions would be the type of doctor you go to would not be an OBGYN. That's a question someone asked me on Facebook for you to say the name of the type of doctor again.
Oncologist. OBGYN is a female doctor. That's a gynecologist is what an OBGYN is. But an oncologist is pretty much a doctor that works pretty much with cancer.
Okay. So you're cancer-free, which is a blessing from God.
Yes.
So What do you do in your spare time? That's what I like to know. I mean, your television show was an award winner.
Yeah.
It really was.
In Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah, in Atlanta, I worked, like I said, with People TV. That's why I used to film my show. It used to come on Saturdays at 8 o'clock. I also, you know, had a website also, but I paid somebody $2,000, and, you know, the website was up for a couple of years, and then it was a glitch or something happened in it, and then the girl that I paid all this money to, she moved away to Colorado. I called her, and I'm like, wait, I paid you all this money, and, you know, now she's not answering her phone. So, you know what, I didn't even, you know, after dealing with cancer, the little things that used to upset me, so I don't even care anymore. So that's why the show is on YouTube. There's about 80 shows, and, you know, and I tell people if you want to check out the show, the goal of my show, I really didn't deal with celebrities or anything. I just dealt with the everyday people. You know, I always hear, you know, everybody's into reality television, and, you know, I used to always hear negative stuff about, you know, regular people, you know, and I just wanted to do a show that anybody could relate with because, you know, I have one of my girlfriends, she sells cars for a living, and she's always saying, golly, people come and, you know, to buy a car, and they don't have a concept of how much money a down payment and their credit report. So, I did shows like trying to teach people, you know, what your credit report means, you know, and what is a credit report and what you need to do to stay on point with your credit. So, and then I did shows about, you know, exercise, and I also did shows about, you know, people that were relationship shows. Because I always hear women say things like, you know, men are no good, which is, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, I don't know anything but great men in my life. I really guess, you know, you get what you put out there. you know, not trying to put anybody down, but, you know, I feel I've always been taught to expect the best. So that's what, you know, I've always attracted, and that's just how I look at relationships. But either way, that's the kind of show that I did. The goal was to educate, empower, and to enlighten. But it just took money that I didn't have. You know, it wasn't a show in HD, but I always tell people, if you go to YouTube and, you know, look at the look of the show might not be great, but the content was really good. And, you know, hey, I flew to New York, Blackstreet, and I was surprised that, you know, I won a couple awards for TV and film. So it made me feel good, even though that's not why I did the show. You know, my whole goal and my whole life, it's just about helping people. Anything that I can do to spread information and to help somebody, that's really all it's about.
Okay. All right. So the insurance, you said you had insurance and everything. So, and you said if a person doesn't have insurance, they don't, when they have cancer, or a certain type of cancer, or cancer, they normally die.
You can die if you can't afford the drugs.
You can die.
If you cannot, yeah, you can die. It's serious. This is serious business. Yes.
So
because
that
it's all about money. Yeah.
And that's what's troubling. I've come to realize that too. And for it to be all about money, not finding a cure and everything, the pharmaceutical or drug companies are making all this money. And, you know, it just doesn't, it's not right. I mean,
yeah.
It's not right that people who do not have the right type of insurance could die. I mean,
yeah.
I understand that's a money maker thing, cancer is, but that's still wrong.
But we live in a country that it's all about greed, and that's what people just need to understand. I mean, it's a bigger picture than people not wanting this health care act to go into business. What I don't understand and what really makes me cry sometimes is, you know, if, you know, they're trying to fight Obama on this health care act, and I think about, you know, poor people who don't have insurance, and, you know, like I said, most people, they don't have health care, and what they've been doing now, or if you don't have a job, you go to the emergency. But what people don't understand is a lot of times, depending on where you live and what hospital you go to, a lot of emergency rooms can refuse you for not having benefits. So then you're going to do what? You're going to die.
Yes, actually, I had a friend that went through that. He was ill, and we had called the hospital and went to the emergency room. They refused him. They
yeah.
said it was not serious enough, and they had the right to refuse him, but he was hurting.
Mm-hmm.
He was seriously hurting.
Yeah.
And I thought that was
and
awful.
No one cares. They showed a
that's,
woman.
Yeah, that's true.
In New York, I think this is about a year ago, and I remember I was just watching, you know, I'm always online, and it was a big deal that there was this woman that didn't have insurance. She went to some hospital, I don't know if it was Brooklyn or it was kind of like an area of New York that, you know, I guess a lot of people that don't have insurance go to, and the woman was sick, and they ended up showing on I don't know if it was TMZ. I don't know what it was, but they ended up showing that this woman literally didn't have insurance. She sat in the waiting room for 6 hours. She ended up dying.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful, and it's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what the Republicans want.
That's what Republicans. That seems to be true. That really does seem to be true. It's like it's all about money.
Yeah.
And I also get the impression, my impression and my feelings are that they're only for the rich.
Yes.
It's all about money, and that's why they fight President Barack Obama so hard. It's not just because he's part black African American or black American. It's
yeah.
because of money, the big picture.
Yes.
And I got real upset when I saw the gentleman stand up there for over 24 hours and talk against the Affordable Care Act that President Barack Obama is trying to pass, because
yes.
I know what it's like not to have insurance.
Yes, you're right. And that's what saved me. Like I said, that's the only thing that saved me, I tell anybody, is the fact that I have great insurance. And I remember looking at my bill. Even when you have insurance, you still get a bill each month. And I remember when I had my stem cell transplant, I had it in May. I was in the hospital for about 2 weeks. And in all honesty, it was probably the worst experience of my life. It was 2 weeks of pure hell. I felt like I really could have died. When I got the bill, I remember looking at it, and it was $250,000. That's what it cost to have a stem cell transplant. And mm-hmm. and I thank God every day that my insurance paid for it, you know, $250,000. And, you know, and that's why I tell you all the time, people who don't have insurance, or if you're on Medicaid, let me tell you something. Medicaid's not paying $250,000 for anybody to have a transplant. They're not going to do it.
So you don't.
So someone, yeah, you die.
Normally,
so you know,
unless
yeah.
a miracle
yeah.
happens, you die. Okay.
You die.
All right.
You
well,
die.
I've got a call. Some callers on the line. I'm going to go to the first call. And caller, if you have a question for Ms. Carla Mills or Carla Mills, go ahead and ask. If you don't, just continue to listen. Hello, caller.
Hey, how are you?
Hi. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Did you have a question for Carla Mills? Hello? Okay, I guess she didn't. Thank you for calling in, though. All right. It's three or four others, but I'm not going to go to the phone. I'm not going to go back to the lines because we have such a limited amount of time. But
okay.
I just want you to know you are an inspiration. That you survived and that you're still surviving and that you're still alive and you think enough of other people to share your story and you're not being selfish about it or mean-spirited about it. You came on the show to talk to people and let people know what was going on in your life and how your life is turning out. And I think that is wonderful. You're an inspiration to me, and I'm sure anybody listening to the show.
Thank you. But you know
okay.
what you realize, Angela, as you get older, you realize that it's not about you.
Yes, okay. I understand
that. It ain't about me. This whole experience that I've experienced, it ain't about me. It's really, like I said, it's really about helping others and in anything. You know, I think I really believe that God saved me for a reason. And, you know, and you know what the craziest thing? I think we talked about this already, but I definitely, you know me, I don't keep anything back. But I remember the hardest thing about this whole experience, I know it sounds vain, but, you know, I was always a cute girl, you know, so I just assumed.
And
you
still
hey,
are. You're beautiful.
Well, I am now, but I went through months of feeling so ugly. You know, that's the one thing, you know, about having the transplant, you know, and I remember, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, now looks don't mean anything, but yeah, God, you know, one thing God did is he restored it. I mean, people tell me I look better now than I did before. So God did restore me, but the hardest thing, and I know I told you this, was when I lost my hair, you know, because even though I wore wigs and I wore weave, I even wore my real hair. Some, you know, the people who are my close friends know the kind of hair that I had. So, I mean, you know, I've always had very thick hair and, you know, fairly long hair, you know, and healthy hair because, you know, I don't do chemicals. You know, my hair was natural. And the hardest part, when I came home from the hospital, I remember, you know, because when I went in the hospital, so I was going to be there for a couple of weeks, you know, I just braided my hair. And when I came home, that's when it really got to me. You know, I came home, went into, you know, looked in the mirror, took my braids down, started combing my hair out. And I, you know, and next thing I know, I didn't have any hair. You know, I was literally completely bald. And that was the hardest thing for me, and I remember like it was yesterday, and I literally fell down to the floor, and that was the first time that I really cried in years. I mean, I just cried, and I remember my son came in, you know, because he, you know, of course, my son was at home. He's in college now, and he was like, what are you crying for? And I guess I was crying loud, you know, because my son walked in and he was thinking something was wrong. And I was like, you know, my hair all fell out. And he was like, Mom, you know, just thank God you're alive. You know, forget the hair. And, you know, like I said, I probably cried for a good 30 minutes. You know, I just literally, you know, fell to the floor, sat there in puddles of my hair, cried for about 30 minutes. And then that was it. Then I got up, pulled myself together, got on my knees and started praying to God because, you know what, thank God I'm alive. And then when
yes,
I got ready
God.
To go
thank
out,
God.
Thank God. And then when I got ready to go out, I just threw a wig on. And now, you know, my hair, it took a good 6 months. It took a long time, but, you know, my hair is not as long as it was. But thank God it's back. And that just shows you that God will restore. He will restore everything. And that's what I mean when I say that through this cancer, it was kind of a blessing to me because, you know, I took a lot of things for granted. And I realize now that the stuff that used to be important, it ain't important.
That's all right.
Yes.
All right,
it ain't important at all. Yeah.
The
so whoever, and I just wanted to say that to someone who was dealing with whatever what I went through and maybe has lost their hair, and I just want them to know that it will come back, and it comes back, you know, when you have chemo and your hair comes back, oh, my God, it comes back so much prettier.
Okay.
You know,
right.
It does. It comes,
well, you're
it
still
comes
beautiful.
Back prettier. Well, thank
you. I know you said to call you Carla by your friend, but you're still a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
You
but
really
but I'm just saying, but I went through a period, I'm just saying, that of looking in the mirror and not knowing who that was looking back at me. I'm just going to be honest with you because cancer, it strips away a lot. It takes away a lot, and it's a fight. I mean, it's a serious battle, and I'm just saying that, yeah, now I can thank God. Yeah, now I look great. Matter of fact, I look better than before, but there was some months that I would, like I said, look in the mirror, and I didn't know. I mean, I would just cry because I was like, who is this person?
Okay. All right. So, but the important thing is that you're alive, like your son said, and you're able to tell your story and your experiences to other people, women and men. And
you're right.
You're helping someone by coming on this show. You know, talking about the insurance. Now, we know that President Barack Obama's Affordable Health Care Act goes into effect sometime next month.
Yeah, January 1st, yes.
January 1st, yes.
Yes.
So that's a blessing. And I also agree with you, again, I think I've said this one time already, that it's about money.
Yes.
I mean, because
yes.
You look at all this time and no cancer cure has been found, but yet there are millions upon millions of dollars being made. So,
yes.
You know,
there's a new cancer center being opened all over the world. It seems like every month they're opening up a new cancer center and got new cancer doctors, but we don't have no cure.
You know, and also, not trying to change the subject, you know, completely, but I also wonder about HIV and AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with you, though, but I'm just saying, I wonder why there hasn't been a cure for that.
Because it's money.
I mean,
illness is
about
money.
Money.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's my belief that Republicans are fought President Barack Obama so bad and scandalized his name and called him, basically they called President Barack Obama a liar over a website. Now, I'm on a website. I'm on a website right now, Blog Talk Radio, and sometimes their website has difficulties. Like when the show didn't air, when I was supposed to do it the week before, or when I have to start a show over that starts at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I have to stop the show and start it back over at 6:30 with the person I'm interviewing. So website prop, that's technical. That isn't President Barack Obama's fault that the website failed. It really isn't because the computers and websites are made by man, people, men and women. I use the word man because that's what the Bible uses a lot, man.
That's right.
But I'm referring to all of men and women. So those things happen. I don't feel like they should have blamed him for that. I mean, it's technical. It's all technical. Websites mess up. And I know he paid America or the government has paid a lot of money for the website. But to get up there and call him a liar and defame his name, President Barack Obama's name, and that's just, it's not only disrespectful, it's that's crazy.
I agree.
To me, that is, you get on TV and call the president a liar. He's in his second term, and he has no control over that website.
He doesn't. But, you know, President Obama, I have to respect him because it doesn't matter what they do to him. He keeps his calm, and the people have spoken. It doesn't matter what the Republicans think or what they like or what they can call him, whatever, but he's the one that won a second term.
Yes, he did.
You know,
yes,
yeah, he
won.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's all I can say. You know, a lot of times, you know, they always say when it comes to your haters, you know, President Obama, he's just going on with his business. And that's all we can do. But, you know, and the purpose of your show is I just hope that people truly understand that, you know, we live in a world that's literally about greed. It's all about money and greed. And be careful. Whatever illness that body has in this life, we really have to understand, you know, that we have to change laws. And, you know, like I said, I haven't had the passion to really do my show, but I don't know. I'm passionate right now about speaking, and I'm passionate about getting into politics on some sort of level. So I don't know. I'm just praying to God that he leads me in the direction of what it is that I should do next. But no matter what, I definitely want to help people because I just think that it's really sad that we live in a world that when you get sick, people just rather see you die.
That's horrible. And
yeah.
It's true, but it's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God doesn't want it to be that way. But it's true,
no.
But it's still horrible.
Yeah.
You're thinking about going into politics. Well, I think that's great. I think that's great.
Like
and don't forget public speaking. But don't wear yourself down, you know, or anything like that, because I wouldn't want you to have a relapse. And don't claim what I just said, okay?
I'm not going to have a relapse, but, you know, like
but
I said.
But I think public speaking
in
politics
yeah.
is
yeah.
even better than your show,
mm-hmm.
which I hope you do are able to start it up again. You know, I really am, because I've seen your show, so I know it's a great show, and you really help
Thank
people.
But it takes money.
Right.
You know, it takes money to do a show. And,
mm-hmm.
now that I don't work, I just don't have that kind of money. So who knows which way I'm going to be blessed. Either way, I just know I want to help people.
You just want to help people. Okay,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all, sharing your story, sharing your life, your experiences with this disease, and just coming on this show at the goodness of your heart, hoping to reach somebody and hoping this show would be a blessing to somebody who's either going through the same thing or have a relative that's going through the same thing, you know, or a friend, you know. So you're definitely a blessing to the listeners of this show, the people who listened.
Well, you know, everybody knows somebody that's dealing with cancer. That's the scary thing. Everybody knows somebody.
Yes, I'll share a little bit of my story, not trying to steal the spotlight or anything or overshadow what you just said, because it's
mm-hmm.
very powerful what you just said, very inspirational. I recently had my first breast cancer, I guess you call it exam. It was
okay.
my first time having it, and I'm 43 years old.
Okay, mammogram.
And the reason
okay.
I didn't have it, I'm not going to name the place where I'm at or the place where I went to for my yearly physical. I'm not going to call the names because I can be sued for that. But
mm-hmm.
I went. They refused to give me a prescription or anything to go have a mammogram, and it just so happened that they don't do mammograms there. And my mom came to me and said she was real concerned. She did not know I had not ever had, never ever had a mammogram, breast cancer mammogram. I only
mm-hmm.
had checkups, yearly exams and
yeah.
things like that. So she insisted, my mama did, that I go
okay.
somewhere else and get a mammogram. So I did do that. But I thought, well, okay, it's over with. You know, I'm not going to worry about it. And after a 4 or 5 days went by, no call. I said, well, it must have turned out all right. Well, come to find out, they called me less than a week later and told me to come back in so they could redo the mammogram. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, because I knew breast cancer ran in our family. It's just I wasn't thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I had other things on my mind. And so I was scared, and I really got on my knees and prayed, because I have had relatives who died of breast cancer, but I didn't take it seriously. Even at 43, I did not take it seriously. And I am 43, so when they called me back in for the second test, they said it seemed fine now, but they may have to call me back, or that I would have to get a yearly exam.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared me. You know, I had to pray too, you know, and not only was I praying for myself, I was praying for all the women that my mom told me about who had died because of a certain medical place they went to because they were black women.
Mm-hmm.
And they have died of cancer, but I cannot name that place because I can be sued.
Okay.
But there have been black women who have died, and I did not even realize that. I thought, well, they didn't survive it, you know. So my mom just put her foot down and says, this is ridiculous, you know. And that's what they do. They don't give the women prescriptions for mammograms. And then when they do end up, if they actually do end up with breast cancer, they're just about at the last stages. You know, they'll tell, oh, that spot or that lump on you is nothing. Don't worry about it. Or that mole coming on you is probably just growing bigger. It's not a sign of cancer. It's this or it's that. And then, like, a year later, you find out you have cancer. And
that's
these
right.
women have died. And I truly, in my heart, I'm not lying. I truly, in my heart and mind, believe that these women were not given those prescriptions to go have a mammogram, just like I wasn't, because of racism.
Yeah.
And
well,
I'm not trying to undermine your faith, Ms. Carla, or anybody else's faith, but this is a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just here to tell you, you need to advocate, people need to advocate for themselves for anything, medically advocate for themselves. If something doesn't feel right and you feel that something isn't right, go somewhere else.
Yes.
Get those exams. Get those yearly pap smears. Because
and get a second or third opinion. Sometimes you just have to. You got if it don't feel right, you just got to keep going until you find somebody that listens to your concerns. So I agree with you.
Yeah. So that was it. They told her, there's nothing wrong with you. That spot, that lump, is just this or it's just that. Next thing we know, she's dead.
Yeah. Ain't nothing to play with.
Cancer
will eat you up. And you know, and once you get so far, like I said, and depending on, like you said, the benefits, and if you don't have the right kind of insurance, people just don't care about you. You know, doctors, there was a time when doctors cared about you, but if you don't have insurance, you know, no, and you can't pay for the drugs, nobody really cares anymore.
Okay. Well, I thank you, Carla Mills, for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I have a great respect and admiration for you.
Can I say one thing before you end it? I just want to say one thing. I know people tried to call in and they weren't able to reach me. Anybody who has a question for me, my email is millsconnection@yahoo.com. If you email me your question, I will be glad to respond to you. Go ahead, Angela.
Okay. I just want to thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I thank you for sharing your story. And I really hope you get to run for politics and have your show and public speak. I would love to come go to Atlanta and hear you speak. I would.
Okay.
And if I was in Georgia, I would definitely vote for you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. And anytime you need me to come on again, don't hesitate to call me. You know I will do anything for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I know you've been a blessing and inspiration to someone. You have a good night.
All right.
Carla. You tell me to call you Carla.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And you
God
have
bless
a good
you.
Night also. Thanks.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Yes, ma'am. All right, listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest on the show was Miss Carla. Well, she told me to call her Carla. Carla Mills. She said where you could look up her, where you could email. I think she said the Mills Connection. I don't know. I don't know if it's Gmail or Yahoo, but she did leave that email address out there for anybody who wanted to contact her if you had questions. So, I thank you all for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I pray that you've been blessed by this show. I'm going to play some commercials and theme music, and then I'm going to end this show.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turn your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And decline to provide world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, papers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, listeners, don't forget to buy your copy or your yearly subscription to Urban Spice Magazine, which is co-founded by Reginald Lewis and Terrell Wicker. It's only like $15 a year to purchase the magazine. So, everyone, I encourage you to go out and get your copy. And I'm also a writer for Urban Spice Magazine. And I hope you subscribe to the yearly subscription. And I'm going to go back to the rest of it, the rest of the commercials and drops.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.
Listeners, thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Everyone have a good night. And don't forget, Urban Spice Magazine, yours truly, is a writer for them. The yearly subscription is only like $14.99 or $15. So go out and subscribe to Urban Spice Magazine. The website is www.urbanspicemag.com. If you cannot find it that way, you can hit Reginald Lewis after Terrell Wicker up on Facebook. Everyone, have a good night and stay blessed. Also, one more thing. You can subscribe to the magazine from the website. All right. God bless y'all and have a good night.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.